Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Why don't you guys go ahead and find your seats? That's okay. Yeah, pour the last of your coffee. Find your seats. Worship team, go ahead and get ready. Good morning. I just love you guys. What a beautiful day the Lord has made, right? Amen. Amen. We get to celebrate our fathers today. Dads who are dads get to be celebrated. I love that, including our Heavenly Father, right? Amen. Yeah, he's the one that we all look to for mothering and fathering, like experiences and wisdom, right? Amen. Amen. So, anyway, I was reading in James today, and it says, James 1, but it says, for you know that when, this is Passion Translation, I just kind of like it because it gives a little fire, you know, which is already a powerful verse, but it says, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs you up in, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Wow, right? The fact that our faith gets to be tested on a daily, sometimes hourly, what a joy, right? Because in that testing comes endurance and the ability to allow our faith to become steadfast. And so this morning, as we're worshiping our Lord, I just want us to really be participants, not just spectators of what's going on, but let's be participants in this worship, just calling out and allowing him to strengthen us and to cause our endurance to grow and our fires to be lit even hotter. Lord, we want more of you. More of you. Set a fire that's so deep in our souls, God, that we can't contain it and it won't be controlled, Father. Lord, that no matter what obstacle has been in our way or is going to come our way, Lord, that we would be able to stand firm on your word and look to you, Father, for solutions, not the world. God, we give this Father's Day to you. Yes, we open it up with just sweet, sweet praises of thankfulness. And of just joy, God. Joy of being your children without restraint, without any strings attached. Father, you call us by name. Yes, God. And we just lift this up to you.
Mercy in your eyes. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody just to imagine with me. So if you would just kind of shut your eyes, and you know, the Lord was actually about us setting our minds on things above, and that's Him. He's above everything we could ever be. He is who we attain to be. I'm going to ask if you would turn back to the song before that, the chorus about contain, and I cannot contain. And as we were singing this song, I'm seeing this gorgeous pot, and how there is just spiritual spillage just overflowing this pot. And I want you to just imagine, if you could zoom in, and this pot is so big that everybody could stand under the pour off, the extra, whatever that's called. And they're dancing and they're getting wet under the extra. And as I was watching Liana dance around here, and to you, it may look like child's play, but that child is learning to worship God in what she's doing. And she is the epitome of what God wants for us in our worship, to enjoy the overage, the spill off, the extra. He's always about more. He's always about more than what we have now. And sometimes the enemy wants us to get caught up in what we do not have, that we cannot contain or even see what Jesus has for us. So can you just, in that, can you just see yourself? Can you just imagine he has so much for you, and you've been trying to do it by yourself? You've been trying to make yourself learn how to survive on where you're at. Earlier, I was talking with Carla, and I was telling her about our daughter having emergency surgery last week and how she's been sick for 11 years off and on with a very nasty gallbladder. And we were both saying, Carla just reiterated words I'd already said, her body doesn't even know what it feels like to be whole because she's lived 11 years with this, you know, sickness. Jesus wants us to learn how to live whole, you guys. He doesn't want us to live with a sick spiritual body. He wants us to, if you have to, just get mad at the enemy that he's tried to trick you into living where you're at. That is not for you. That is not your inheritance in Jesus. Your inheritance in Jesus is yes and amen, and more that you cannot contain. What are you where are you living? What are you doing? What am I doing? My husband and I we went to coffee last night because I was so overwhelmed with everything that's going on in our world. But you know what? That's where the enemy wants me to be, is in that overwhelmed state. Well, Jesus wants me in the overage state. Him, the over and above, the extra, that I can't contain him. Are you satisfied where you're living? If you're not, do you know what you need to do to get out of that? Run to Jesus. Beg him, ask him. And you know what? He's going to give you more than you could ever contain in your life. Do not live below where he has for you to live. Don't live in that state. Don't live there. Do you want more? Just ask him for more. He has so much to give, and he just is begging you to take it. Ask him more, Jesus. I just want more, to where I can't contain it anymore. Can we go back to that chorus about the praise will be my song? Can we do that? And just, y'all, it, whatever you have to do to get more, just do it. Like this, the power of God is really strong up here. So I'm going to stand up here. I'm going to be up here. Will you join me? Will you just go for more of Jesus? And if you've never had Jesus, just look at him and say, I just want more, Lord. I want more. I don't know what that looks like, but I want more. I've lived in such a state of lack. I don't know what more feels like, but whatever that is, I want it for me. I want it for my children and my children's children and my children's children's children. The blessing of God. The blessing of God.
I can tell.
continue in this atmosphere as we greet one another.
Praise the Lord. Are you guys ready to do our declaration? Amen. We're going to do the heart of the house again today. Declarations are a statement of faith that we're making. Do you guys know that we live by faith? We don't live by sight. And so when we declare what we want and we believe God is wanting to do in our lives and in this church, that is like an agreement in the heavens. And it's like a prayer, but it's also a statement of how we're going to move forward in faith. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's go ahead and get started. So on three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and He is awakening our church. That we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. That God is working in our waiting. That our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves. That we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have called us as a body, Lord, to this city. Lord, we're not here by accident, Lord. We're not here just by happenstance. Lord, you have planned, Lord, from eternity for us to be here in this place, in this time, Lord, in Yakima, Lord, in this house, this fellowship. So, Lord, I pray that you would do what you need to do in each and every one of us, Lord, to fulfill your will, Lord, in this house, to fulfill your will, Lord, in One Life Family Worship. And, Lord, we submit our lives to you, Lord. We ask, God, that you would guide and direct our steps. Lord, that you would lead us and guide us into all truths, Lord. The truths about us, Lord, as a body, and the truth about us as individuals. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you came, Lord, so that we, Lord, we could live a life and live a life abundantly, Lord. You gave your life, Lord, so that we could have life, Lord. And, Lord, as a body of believers, Lord, we want to share that life with this city. We want to share that life, Lord, with our family members, Lord. We want to share that life with our coworkers, Lord. We want to share that life, Lord, with our neighbors. So help us, Lord, to find opportunities, Lord. Help us to seize opportunities, Lord, when they approach us, Lord, to reach others, Lord, that need to receive the same good news, Lord, that you so gracefully brought us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hey, can we go back to that middle slide? I just wanted to point out something here. Says that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves. I'm going to give you guys a little testimony here, how God can work in your life. I was in the jail ministry years ago, and there was someone that I was working with, and I knew that they had gotten out of jail, and I could not reach them for the life of me. There was just, I don't know. I tried their number. I don't know if I got the wrong number. So one day I'm like driving my car, and all of a sudden I sense, okay, I got to turn right. So I turn right, and okay, and then all of a sudden I got to turn left. And so I'm just following this moving that I'm sensing in me. And so what ends up happening, I drive all over the place, just following the Spirit, and I turn into a gas station and pull into the stall. And there is the individual that I needed to meet that was on my heart. Wow. So I'm telling you, God can lead and guide and direct you into reaching others. Amen. Amen.
So I'm going to ask the dads of the church to please stand. Now, I have to tell y'all, my daddy has been gone for about 7 years, and I miss him dreadfully every day. But I honored my dad, and I want to honor you guys. I am going to tell you that that word honor has never meant more to me than now when I can't say it to my dad. And so I honor who you are as the leader of your home. I honor you because God has placed you there. I honor you because you say yes and amen every single day to your families. And so we bless you. We honor you. We thank you for everything you do for us. Over on the counter at the end is just a little something, something from the church. Because there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, please feel free to take a couple and look for the scripture that is hiding on your little treat. There's a scripture verse there for you. So we bless you and honor you, fathers. Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right, who's next? I'm next? Okay, I'm next. I'll do the announcements. Yes. Okay. Pre-prayer service. Okay, so we are meeting downstairs. If you go down these stairs here and you, and when you come down into the other side of the building and you take a right, just go down and there's a prayer room. I want to encourage all of you to join us. Even if you don't join us every Sunday, join us sometimes because it is like the catalyst for what's going to happen upstairs. It creates like an incubation time. And what it does, it prepares your heart to even go deeper into the service. So I want to encourage all of you to join us. It is at 9:45 to 10. We've had a few people coming down at 10. So I'm going to say if people are coming down at 10 and they want to pray, I'm going to make sure we pray a little bit. So just ending just because the time's going to constrain us. I'm going to say that right now. So everybody's like looking at me, but I want to make sure that we're honoring the Lord in spending time seeking him. Next. Oh yeah. Church potluck. That's next Sunday from 6 to 8. If you have not signed up for it, here's a sign up sheet. You can come up after service. I think almost every, well, I don't know. I don't think you guys have signed it. I'm going to trip here. That's okay. Here, if you'd like to join us there, that's going to be at Franklin Park, and we're going to be over by where the children's toys are, just kind of to the northwest of the pool, I think it is. Yeah. You can bring something if you want to put it on that list, or you can come and just join us, and it's going to be a great time of fellowship. The church is going to provide the meat, and then we're asking for like sides and desserts and stuff. So, yard sale. It's going to be a yard sale. It's going to be July 8th, which is our anniversary, honey. And it's going to be really good if people bring items so that the youth can sell them. This is so that they can raise funds. The youth have a lot of individuals that are starting to come and join the ministry, but they need funds. You know, they need funds for buses. They need funds for transportation. They need funds. Some people can't afford to pay for camp. So this is going to be a amazing yard sale. If you want to come and just buy some stuff, that would help too. And you could get some yard sale items. I'm not into yard sales, but I know some people are. What? Call Nancy. Donations. There you go. Yes, you can call Nancy and have her find out what you want to bring and when you need to meet someone at the church to bring in your donations. All right. Okay. And we want to thank everyone who gives, everyone who sows into this house. There's a principle in God that God is not mocked, and whatsoever we sow, that we will reap. And so if we're sowing in our finances into God's kingdom, finances come back. We're sowing love into people's lives. Love comes back to us. So be a sower. Be a sower of the things of God into other people's lives. If you want to give, you can give up here, you can give in the back, or you can give online. So praise the Lord. Eric, bring the word.
Thanks, Tim. Check, check, check. All right. Happy Father's Day, dads. I will say that again. So I have a couple verses to share, specifically less about Father's Day and more about sons. And you know, I went back and forth this week because so how it works or how we've kind of established our preaching schedule is Pastor Mike and I go back and forth, and so. And then on occasion, if somebody else wants to preach, we'll throw it in there as well. So technically, this is my Sunday to preach. If you didn't notice, I wasn't here for worship because I was taking my son to a leadership camp for his scouts. And so I drove all the way. I don't even know. Pastor Mike was trying to figure out where it was. It's an hour away. That's all I know. I just plugged it in. At some point, GPS was like, I don't know where you are. There was no, you know how like on the map of your GPS, there's like, you can see the like greenery and it has like the road and everything. There was a point where there was just grid and GPS was like, I don't know where this is. Okay, so that being said, I don't know how anybody ever lived without GPS. Can I throw that out there? I know that you know, I at least remember the days of printing out MapQuest, but I don't know how anybody did it before that. So, praise the Lord. What is that? What's a map? And so so it's my week to preach, but I'm going out to take Caden, and so I'm like, logically, it makes sense. Like, Pastor Mike, I'm not going to be there. I'll be there at church, but I'm not going to be there to preach because I don't know when I'm going to come back. But then, probably Tuesday or Wednesday or Sunday, I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to preach. And Pastor Mike said, well, do you know when you're going to come back? And I was like, I don't. I think I'll make, like when I look at the time, if I leave at this time, I'll get there. I don't know what it's going to look like dropping him off if it's a whole process, because this is a whole new thing for us. And even up till yesterday, he's like, are you good? I was like, I think so. I don't know. Right. And so, but I say all this to say, it would have been very easy just for me to say, Pastor Mike, just preach. That's going to be the easiest thing. You preach, I'll preach next time or whatever. Not a big deal. But again, I just kept feeling this stirring in my heart about sharing a little bit about sonship. Because this has been in my 18 years, or how, I think it's something around 18 years that I've come to know the Lord. This has been my journey of figuring out what it means to be a son, okay, and what it means, and coming from, and I've told my story a little bit in here before about my father, my biological father not being around, my biological father not being in the picture, and so feeling. Even though my mom was there and raised me and did a great job, feeling a bit abandoned, feeling a bit like an orphan. And then going on this journey where I find Jesus at 19, and then I have to figure out, well, in the Bible it talks about how we're sons and how, you know, he's a father. And it's like, well, I don't even know what that means because I've never actually had a dad in my life. And so that word to me doesn't even compute. Like, what does that mean to have a father and to be a son? And so we're going to spend some time this morning just talking about sonship, and I just want you to know where we're going. And when I say sons, please recognize, ladies, I'm also talking about you. I'm not trying to be woke, okay? It just, the Bible calls us sons, and so that includes you too. Men have to be the bride of Christ. You guys can be sons, okay? So, all right, so I'm going to pray, and then we'll dive into this. So, Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you, God, for your goodness. I thank you that you do call us sons and daughters. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are with us, God. And, yeah, I just pray blessings over today. I thank you, Lord, for what you did during worship. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are in this place and that you are moving mightily, God. I pray for every heart in this place, every heart, Lord, that's been stirred up this morning, God. And I just pray, Lord, as we delve into this idea of being sons and daughters, God, that you would stir something up in your children today, Jesus, that they would walk out of this place closer to you as a son or as a daughter. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. So I've said this before, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but when you approach God as a son, you receive a father. When you approach God as a child, you receive a father. What happens is sometimes is we can look at Jesus depending on how we were raised, as he's the guy up there that just gives the orders and you shut up and you do, right? And there's an element to obedience. There's an element to obey God. Like God gives me the orders or the charging orders and I go. There's an element to that. However, the God that I read about, the loving Father I read about, is less of shut up and do what I'm telling you to do, and more of, hey, trust me with all that you have in everything, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your finances, in your workplace, in everything. Trust me in all this because I'm a good father. I'm going to take care of my children. And so when I'm giving you, marching orders, it's not because I just want you to do it and be a robot and don't ask questions. I want you to do it because this is the best for your life, right? And so it's getting that mind, changing our minds and ultimately changing our hearts from just approaching God as somebody who's just militant and just yes sir, yes God, and more just like, Father, I actually want to obey you because I love you. Like I want to come under the covering of your love because of the amount of love you pour out for us. You know, I was stirred up this week because the other day actually, and so this is a new revelation to me. So please bear with me as I try to dissect this because it's new and fresh in my mind. But this added to kind of my like being stirred up and should I preach and should I share? I was talking with a friend actually on Friday, and she was telling me about a church that she attended for a while, and it was a larger church. She really enjoyed it. She went there for a few years, was plugged in and whatnot. And then she said that everything was great. Everything was going just fine. But then something shifted, and she realized she wasn't a part of community anymore, and she wasn't actually part of a family anymore. She was, and it turned into, she said, she used this terminology, she said, it turned into more see you next Sunday. And when she said that, now stick with me because this is a part where I can lose you, okay? So she said, see you next Sunday. And I thought, I saw the letters in my head, okay? And I saw like an acronym, see you next Sunday, as the S, and then even though it's a Y, you guys with me? S-U-N-S, sons, okay? That type of sons. And I thought, I had this thought drop in my mind that God is calling the church to produce sons, S-O-N-S, and not sons, S-U-N-S, see you next Sundays. God's calling the church, God's calling us as a body to produce sons, right? Not S-U-N-S, not sons that come and go, right? That are there one moment and not there the next, that are just there for a season, that are just there, you know, on the Sunday, and that's the only relationship we have with them, but actually sons, S-O-N-S, that come under covering, that come in community, and actually say, I'm going to plug into this place. And not only that, I'm going to go deeper with the Father and become a son. And my challenge this morning, you know, is this, is that, and don't worry, I'm going to get into some scripture to make this legal, but my challenge this morning is that we would, whether you're new to the faith or you've been doing it a long time or you have been, you know, whatever the state you're at, is that you would make this decision that I'm going to go deeper as a son or as a daughter. I'm actually going to not settle where I am in Christ with the Father, and actually going to go deeper as a son or as a daughter. And you may think, I've done the work. I've already been there. I've worked this out. I'm a son. I know my identity in Christ, and that's amazing. And I'll also tell you this, that the second you think you figure this out, the furthest you are away from figuring it out. And I look at it this way. I remember years ago, I was going through, some heart surgery, if you will, not physically heart surgery, but like emotional heart surgery. And I was dealing with this son wound that I had, this father wound that I had, and I got some healing. And then all of a sudden, about 6 months later after, I was like, cool, I've prayed, I've forgiven, I've done the thing, I'm awesome. It's like God lifted something up and said, hey, but this right here, let's deal with this. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that was there, right? And this is what God does for us. I want to start by reading Psalm 66, or 68, verse 5. This is in the Passion. It's Psalm 68, verse 5. It says, to the fatherless, he is a father. To the widow, he is a champion friend. To the lonely, he makes them part of a family. To the prisoners, he leads into prosperity until they sing for joy. So why, as a man who has never met his biological father, why can I still feel like a son? It's because I approach the father as a son, and because to the fatherless, he's a father. Right? Now, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the great fathers I've had in my life. Okay? So my mom has remarried since I was young, and the man she has in her life now is an amazing man. You know, I do consider him a father in my life. I mean, he came into my life when I was in my late 20s, so, you know, I was mature and grown and stuff. So, but he's been amazing. You know, Pastor Mike, you know, the reason why we're here, the reason why I'm as deep and close to the Lord, your fathering played a vital part in that. Right? You know, my father-in-law, Tim, you know, I text him this morning and the verbiage I used, because I was like, I don't know, you know, like every year it's like, what do you say? Like, happy Father's Day, like smile emoji, right? Like, what do you say? You know? And the only words that came to my mind was like, thank you for showing me how to be a son. Like that, and I meant that, because that's what it was. It was. Yes, I'm thankful that you're a dad in my life, and you're the father to my love and all that. But there's these physical expressions of a father that I've had in my life that showed me how to be a son. And you may be in the same boat where you're like, I don't have a relationship with my dad. My dad's not in my life. Whatever the case may be, and this is why it's so important to me that I bring fathers into my life. This is why it's important to me when we are pastoring youth, that Nancy and I become a mother and a father to this young generation, because some of them either don't have it, or some of them have it, but not in the way they should have it. So let me read another verse. Romans 8:16. It says this: the Spirit himself testifies that our spirit, or with our spirit, that we are God's children. Let me read it one more time. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. These are definitive statements that the Bible is saying about our identity. And again, this is why it's very important, especially in this day and age, that we get this Bible into us as much as we can. You know, and this is why it's important that we have a healthy relationship with our Bible. I'm not saying this because I'm a Bible salesman, and because if you go buy a Bible, I'm going to get a cut of that. Okay. Actually, you reading your Bible doesn't change my life at all. You reading your Bible changes your life. And not only does it change your life, it changes the life of the people around you. It changes your relationship with your marriage. It changes your children and how you parent. It changes how you experience everything. And the reason why I can confidently stand up here and say I'm a son is because when I read this, it tells me I'm a son. So regardless if anybody comes to me and says, you're not a son of God, you're an orphan, you're actually a bastard, you don't have a father. No, this tells me I'm a son. And so I get to walk confidently and say nothing can come against that part of my identity, right? And I know not only who I am, but I know whose I am. That I belong to him. I belong to him. Let's read another verse. Galatians 3:26. This is in the New King James Version. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus through faith. Well, I can't believe it because I can't see it. And my only expression of a dad has been somebody who, you know, is not a nice person or physically or emotionally or verbally abused those around them. Through faith, though, through faith, we get to become a son. We get to become a daughter through faith. Like this thing that we're doing called Christianity is merely just us showing up and hanging out if we're not doing it with faith. This gathering, this assembly of people coming in here to worship and to sing songs and to hear, you know, somebody come up here and talk about this Bible is merely just words and just time wasted if we're not doing it in faith. And so how do you, if you're struggling with this idea, how do I like become a son? How do I become a daughter? You apply faith to it. It's amazing what happens when believers actually start walking in faith and they start applying faith to their environments. So in this instance, we're talking about becoming a son or a daughter, but let's go another area. I hate my job. I want another job. I don't know what, I feel like I'm stuck. I feel like whatever. Why don't you apply some faith to that and see what God can do? See what God does in your job. I'm really unhappy in my marriage. My marriage is falling apart. Me and my wife are fighting all the time. The kids are awful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why don't you apply some faith to that? It's amazing to me how many believers, people that are show up in churches every Sunday and go to Bible study and all this stuff, actually don't utilize the tools that God freely gives us as like faith. It's amazing to me. Right, he comes and he and we say yes to him and he gives us so much freely. What if I don't show up in church next Sunday? He still pours it out. What if I miss my Bible reading for a week? Guess what? He still pours it out. Why? Because he's good. He's a good dad. And it's amazing to me that we have all this goodness raining down on us, and then life happens and things get chaotic and we're like, I don't know what to do. Open your Bible. Bring fathers around you, bring counsel around you and say, I don't know what to do. Help me do this. I mean, all this week, I even was asking the pastor, like, should I preach? What should I do? I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do. And cause I didn't want to just do like nothing. I didn't want to just like act on my own feelings because feelings are fleeting. Amen. All right. Let's read another verse in the ESV. This is 2 Corinthians 6:18. It says this, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. I will be a father to you. Romans 9:26. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. There's identity being spoken into us time and time again in the Word of God. You know, the story or the parable Jesus tells this parable in Luke 15. And we've probably all heard it into one degree or another in the prodigal son. And my favorite part, or one of my favorite parts of this story, this parable, is you know, just to Reader's Digest version, you know, the son wants his inheritance, the father gives it to him, he goes, squanders it, and then he wants to come back home. Okay? My favorite part is the part where the father, one, is looking for him, he's waiting. The son who abandoned his home, the son who said, because to get an inheritance, what needs to happen? Dad needs to be dead. So in so many words, I wish you were dead because I want my inheritance. Yeah. Right? Basically, I spit in your face as my dad. I don't care about you. I just want my money. So can you hurry up and die? And the father is waiting. And you can only assume, Jesus doesn't give this description, you only assume, though, is that the father every day came out in hopes that he would see his son in the distance. The son that hurt him, the son that abandoned the family, the son that took the inheritance, or the son that squandered it all. And then he sees the son, and what does he do? Does he sit there and wait and says, "About time. I knew he was going to be back. I knew that this would happen." Right? "I can't wait till he gets here so I can say, 'I told you so, you dumb idiot.'" What does he do? Let's read it. Luke 15, verse 20. "So he got up and went to his father's. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son." He ran to his son. It's a part that I think that we look over and we gloss over. He ran to his son. He didn't wait. He didn't see him and say, "Okay, cool. Well, I'll wait for him to get here." He ran to him. And I heard this. We'll finish reading this here in a second. But I heard this. I heard one of my friends preach one time, and he talked about how in this culture, how if you committed this heinous abandonment to your family, you actually shamed your family. And what the city or the town would do is that they would throw pots on the ground in front of you and to shame you, right? And you'd have to walk over these, whether you had shoes or not, you'd have to walk over these. And it was just to let everybody know, this guy is a bad guy. This guy deserves nothing but shame. And the father runs to him, most likely before the rest of the town can get to him. And the other picture is this, is that imagine what they wore back then. He had to hike up his deal, right? So he could run to his son. I say all this to say, there was, it's like that song we sing, Reckless Love, right? There was nothing that was going to keep him from getting to his son. I don't care if I look like a fool. I don't care if what anybody thinks. I'm going to get to my son. Says he saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. This is a beautiful depiction of the Father, that when we, no matter where we are in our lives, we come to him, and he not only, he doesn't make us start over and say, "Okay, great. Well, you've been walking away from me for 5 years. So now we're going to start over and we're going to figure this out again." No, he says, "Actually, we're going to put you back where you were." The ring, the robe, everything was a representation of, my son is back. And the son was just willing to work as a servant. The son was just willing to, "Hey, just treat me as one of those. At least they get food." And what the father, no. "You're my son. My son is not going to go work in the kitchen. My son is not going to go, is not going to do that. My son is going to be right where he needs to be, right next to me." I got one last verse, and then we're going to pray. Galatians 4:7 says this: "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Yeah. And if a son, then an heir through God." We have access to the Father as a son because we are an heir. And that's not verbiage we use a lot in America, but heirs to thrones, you know, for in kingdoms and places that have kings and queens and stuff like that. They're an heir to the throne. Everything that the king has, they have, because I'm an heir. And this is how I think about it when I come to the Father, is everything he has, I have. Why? Because I'm an heir. It doesn't mean I'm better than you. No, because we're all on the same page. And the only differences that might be between me and somebody else is that I actually get to walk in it. God's calling the church to no longer walk as orphans, to no longer walk as people who don't know who they are, but actually walk as sons and daughters. Actually walk as who know their true identity. You know what's wrong right now in the world? You know what's wrong? The things that we're seeing on the news right now, all the things that you could think of, it all comes down for me, and I'm willing to be wrong in this, but it all comes down for me is identity. The problem isn't so much of a sin problem, but it's a son problem. It's not so much of a, oh, this world's so full of sin. Yeah, the world's full of sin. We knew that already. The problem is that people don't know that they're a son. Because it's not just the non-believers that are making messes of the world. It's Christians too. It's not just people that don't know Jesus. No, there are plenty of people on this planet that are making crazy decisions with their lives that grew up in the church, that went to Bible college, that had pastors as parents, that know the Bible. So it's not just oh, the world's full of sin and all the people who don't go to church and don't. The only way the church is going to be the answer is if people in the church know who they are. Because this is without us walking in our identity, without us walking in our identity, this is just a building that we assemble in. And if we actually don't walk in our identity, then we don't get to have a dog in the fight. And we could stand up here all we want and say, well, they're over there and they're doing their thing and we're over here doing our thing. And I don't even think that's what God wanted us to do. I think God wanted us to get in there and show the world what it looks like to be a son, an actual representation of Jesus on this earth. Amen. So I'm going to pray. Jillian, will you play something just behind me? And again, like I said moments ago, the challenge is this, as you're thinking about all these things, is where am I in my sonship and daughtership? Like, where actually do I stand as a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Like, do I see him as somebody who actually looks at me with love in his eyes and love in his heart? Or do I hide from God because I'm ashamed? And because if he saw what I did, if he saw how I thought, if he saw how I treated people around me, he would not love me. He would not pour out his blessings on me or any of these things. Because I'm here to tell you today, church, that God is waiting for you to operate as a son. If you said yes to Jesus 20 years ago, amazing. I love that. That's not the question I'm asking today. The question I'm asking today, have you said yes to being a son or a daughter? Have you said yes to I'm going to operate as this person who knows that I can call dad and say, I need you right now? Am I going to operate that way? And that, guys, that's weird for me to say. But if it wasn't for the fathers around me, it wasn't for God actually showing me what that looks like, I wouldn't know what that looks like. Jesus. So here's what I'll say. Well, let's stand together. And I'm just going to ask this, that if you want to receive, if you want to receive sonship today, if you want to receive daughtership today, if you want to receive just an ounce more of getting closer to him in that way, and just put your hands out like you're receiving a gift. And I believe God today wants to touch some people, heal some father wounds, take away some lies that the enemy has told you, take away some things that you've told yourself, some bad theology you've had about our loving Father. And I believe God today is changing legacy in your life, and that not only is this going to change your life, but actually change those around you, your family's lives, just your own whole lineage in Jesus' name. So God, I thank you for you and for the loving Father that you are. And I just pray this morning, God, that as we step into sonship, God, that we would be received by you, God. Lord, I thank you that when we come to you, Lord, as children, Lord, you come back to us as a father, God. I thank you, Lord, that your love is unmatchable, Lord. Lord, that we will never ever understand the amount, intensity, the grand, the love that you have for us, God. I don't even have words to describe the love you have for us, God. And so, God, I just pray to this morning, Jesus, that we would know who we are and whose we are. And any person in this place that is struggling with this mindset, struggling with this, with this thought, God, struggling in their mind or in their heart or both, God, that right now you would rest on them, Father. You would rest on their minds, God. You would rest on their spirits, God. You would begin to speak identity over them in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for your love. I thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, play that again, Jillian. Let's sing this out. And I will build. And I will build my life. Closer to you, God. So we love you, God. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in the hearts, Lord, of everybody here, God. We thank you, Jesus, for the fathers in the house, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you have poured out so much for us and continue to pour out so much for us. And I just pray blessings upon blessings, Lord, over every person here, every family represented here, every father here, God. We just thank you so much, God. what you continue to do in our lives. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. I love you guys. Happy Father's Day. Don't forget your Father's Day snacks. Have a good week. Amen.